Here, for a moment, I was dead to the world. I had been stoned to death by an angry mob. I do not remember anything. I must have rolled the rest of the way onto the desert floor. That is where I returned to life only a few seconds later. I will admit, I was disappointed. The last thought I had before crashing down the ravine was that if you are an orphan, anyone can kill you and no one will cry. I am a twice orphan. First, my parents died, then the old widow who took me in. And in fact, before these men were my murderers, they were my new family. I suppose I am a thrice orphan now. When I awoke at the bottom of the valley, I could see the camel drivers and horsemen of the caravan positioning themselves between their herds and the mob of men running down the hills, swinging swords and screaming, "Nothing, something, two is two!" They were almost on top of me. I scrambled to my feet. A stone skipped across my head. I shrieked and sprinted toward the caravan in the oasis. My legs bled from half a dozen cuts. Brother Fares caught up to me, but he had been my best friend in the temple. When I cleaned the bread baskets, I would collect the crumbs and bring them to the pigeons he cared for in the firelight tower. I looked back as I ran. He loomed above me. Maybe he was sorry. I don't know. Instead of his sword, he swung a young myrtle branch that whipped across my shoulders. He also shouted the law I had broken. Nothing, something, two is two. But it didn't sound like a curse when he said it. I replied with more screams as the branch cut me and I sped up. I waved my arms at the caravan guards and hoped they would take pity on me. I was dizzy. My mouth had more dirt than tongue in it. As I ran to them, the guards drew their swords. A demon on my shoulder, who was never my friend, whispered in my ear, "You are not worth the battle. They will hand you over to your murderers." But even in despair, I would never listen to a demon. I ran up to one of the caravan guards and tried to reach for his belt, but he stepped away. I fell to my knees to grab his bootstraps, but he kicked at me. He tried to keep me away without touching me. He spat on the ground between us, but I crawled over it anyway. I said, "Please, I beg you." "Khafe," said the guard in a gruff voice. I didn't know his people's tongue, but didn't need to. He wanted calm. The camels were stirring at the noise, but the tarpan horses were especially susceptible to panic. Probably because they are such short animals, and like children, they can't look grown men in the eye. The brothers arrived at the oasis and stopped short. Brother Zesht elbowed forward and shouted, "Stand aside and we'll take what's ours." "Chemige?" said one guard to another. The other shrugged. Everyone but me had a sword. The merchants finally roused themselves from their naps under the poplar trees. Through the guard's legs, I could see a round man arise from a Persian rug. Beside him was an ancient and bedraggled donkey who did not get up and may have been dead. The man removed a set of bronze eye shades he had been using to sleep. On his balding head, he placed the cone-shaped felt hat. He was not old and not young, not tall or short, not rushed as he walked toward us, and not at all worried. He smiled through his reddish-brown mustache, and though I had too much dirt and blood in my eyes to see sharply, I thought for a slight moment he winked at me. In short, he was a kind fool who had no sense that he was walking into the standoff of two amateur armies. He approached and placed a meaty paw on a guard's shoulder. "Well now, what's this, my good man? Do we have guests?"